Reading is from John chapter 14, verses 1 to 6, and verses 16 to 21. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And to verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live. You will live also. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love you and manifest myself to him. Amen.
Let's turn to the Word of God again, and we're going to look at John chapter 14. I don't know how many of you watch a TV program that's been very popular over the years. In fact, I think it's in something like its 38th series at the moment, called Location, Location. And I often, there's quite a few programs that are like that, about people in their houses. I do wonder whether we sometimes like to just see inside other people's houses. But it's a very popular program. And Channel 4 describe it as Christy Alsop and Phil Spencer go about finding the perfect house for their customers, keeping all their requirements and desires in mind. I guess we all have the dream home, the dream location in mind, where we want to live. We may actually feel that we're living there now. We might feel that we're living in our forever home, as some describe it, where we will live for years to come, if not for the rest of our lives. I suspect that they don't have in mind where they're going to spend eternity when they talk about a forever home. Now, that is, to me, a forever home. And in a recent episode we watched, Carl and I, they had two different sets of buyers changing their priority from location to type and size of house, and vice versa, because the discussion is always, is it in the right location? Is it the right sort of house for us? Is it the right number of bedrooms, the right number of rooms? One was looking for a large house in a small town, and realised that actually location was most important after having been through most of the programme and found nothing that she liked. She then decided she wanted to be in the country. So in terms of bricks and mortar, home's location is important. This may be influenced by our work, location of family, and the lifestyle we want for ourselves, and possibly our children, and ultimately, I guess, what we can afford to spend in it. House hunting is always interesting. We've been in our present home for 35 years. And I remember when we were looking, we definitely knew the location we wanted. And actually, we're only a few steps up the road from the church where I'm the pastor and we worship. But we had a very tight budget as well. And I remember at the time people saying to us, you will know when it's the right house for you, because when you walk into it, you will know it. And they were right. We looked at lots of houses, but when we went in, we knew it was the one for us. And not only that, we were the Lord's, so the Lord gave us that sensing that it was the right place as well. In the first part of our reading in John, the disciples were at the Last Supper and were having to come to terms with Jesus physically leaving them. In effect, he was going to return to his heavenly home. Jesus had spent 30 years as a man in his earthly home. As Son of Man, he lived and dwelt with us and in us. Albeit the time and culture in Israel where he lived was one we would little recognize or perhaps even understand. But it's an important point as we read and seek to understand God's word in the Bible and what Jesus taught and said to his disciples and those who opposed him. We need to understand the context, the location, and the culture of the time to open up greater understanding of the truths in Scripture and the application of it to our lives today. We're actually in the time of Lent. We're, and certainly in some denominations, as when we approach this time of Easter, the disciples were about to face a big thing in their lives. They're about to face Jesus' departure from this earth to go back to his heavenly home. And there was much on their minds. And needless to say, they were deeply troubled by Jesus going back to his home with the Father. At one level, in terms of the other things that Jesus said to them at this time, you sort of thought they could have been rejoicing for him, but actually, he was going away from them, so they weren't rejoicing. How would they cope without him? How would they survive without his wise guidance? How would they survive without his miracles? How would they survive without his friendship? They had become very close to Jesus. But Jesus reassuringly tells them in John 14:1, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." Being physically separated from Jesus in this life was troubling. But firstly, Jesus points to them the need to continue in their faith, believing God and me. They had done that up until now as they had followed him. When we are faced with things we don't understand, things that we find difficult, perhaps even pain and loss, our faith can become a bit wobbly. How can God allow this to happen if he's truly God? Why would a loving God allow his son to go the way of the cross? Why would he allow hardship? You know, faith sometimes is easy when life is easy and it's going well, but sometimes it's harder when it's not. And that's why faith is even more important when it's not going well. And we know we will have these times. We just don't go through life that life is a constant, you know, nice level and everything goes well all the time. We've even prayed about some of these things in our prayers this morning. But God wants to use all things in us as he did for them. Our faith will be tested, but it'll be tested for good by the Lord. Nothing in the Lord's timing and nothing in the Lord's way is wasted in our lives. We are told in James chapter 1 and verses 2 to 4, "Consider all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." And sometimes we find it difficult to see that at the time. Sometimes it's only when we look back we see this. Faith will grow most in testing times, not when life is easy. Knowing the truth of this and similar verses in the Bible is important to our walk with Jesus and the Father. Now in this life, but also in the one to come, which Jesus was about to tell them about, the place he was preparing for them. Because Jesus told them in verses 2 and 3, "In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would not have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Depending on your translation of the Bible, it might say rooms. Interestingly, King James Version, I notice, says mansions. That sounds very grand to me. And so, and in fact, when I read the verse, I think, how can you fit a mansion into a house? But actually, I'm sure that where God's dwelling place is very grand. But here, the type of dwelling being referred to is not important. If it's an apartment or a mansion, matters little. What is important is where the location is, in the Father's house. Jesus reassures them, "If it were not so, I would have told you." In other words, trust me what I'm telling you by exercising your faith. He says, "For I go to prepare a place for you." And he says, "If I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And that speaks to us as well, not just to the disciples, but to us now. Jesus' crucifixion and leaving was not to leave them bereft, but to prepare them for that place, that heavenly home for them. And he would be there ready to receive them. The separation might be painful in human terms, but that was part of God's plan for them. And all who received him, who received him in faith through salvation, that's us. Because he's gone to prepare that place for us as well. And then Jesus said to them, "And you know the way where I am going." You know the location. I've already shared this with you on different occasions, and he had. But Thomas, the one who was the doubter, who needed to know much more, something much more concretely after the resurrection, wanted something specific. He wanted something more concrete. Perhaps not enough faith and wanting to see the evidence here as well. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way?" It's all very well, he's saying to him, "You're telling us this, but we don't really understand all of this." Elsewhere in the Gospel, John tells us it was only as they looked back after the resurrection, they understood so much more of what God was doing and saying. And this was after Jesus had taught them about the kingdom over 40 days before the ascension. But further, Thomas was saying to him, "How are we going to get there if we don't know the way?" A modern translation might have said, "What is the postcode of where you are going so we can put it in the sat-nav?" Trouble is, sat-nav stumps don't always take you to the right locations. Jesus' reply to him at this stage might not have helped him immediately, but it would eventually. But it's said and written not just for Thomas, but for those who come after, including us. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." There is only one way to the Father's house. There's only one person, the Lord Jesus. The entry to heaven is through Jesus. There's only one way to get to the Father's house. "I am the way, the truth, and the life." There is no other way. If anybody presents another gospel, if anybody presents another faith, that is not the way. It is only through Jesus. And some people take such exception at that. But actually, it's the truth. And it's the truth that increasingly is challenged in these multi-faith days. But we need to hold on to that truth. We need to stand in that truth, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. One of the great I am statements we have here, of which there are seven, but also in John's gospel, he says, I am the door. I am the way into the sheepfold. These I am statements clearly state that no one can enter the kingdom of heaven, the Father's house, by any other means than Jesus himself. He is the only way to enter, and any other ways are false ways. You know, what is it we sing in that hymn? We enter by a new and living way. With confidence we come. We can have confidence in him because he is the way. What a glorious new home awaits us when we go to be with the Lord in glory. But we have not been, as the disciples perhaps thought, left alone until we take up residence in our new abode. It's a great future home to look forward to, and it's great that we're saved and we've made it in to our new home. Well, yes, absolutely. But God wants more than this. He does not want us to be left to our own devices until then. This is for a number of reasons. Not least, Jesus is preparing a place for us, but he also wants to prepare us for a new home. There's work that he wants to do in us. He wants to ensure we don't slide back into our old place, where we used to live, our way of living in the world. He wants to keep our eyes fixed on the upward call of Christ Jesus. We need to be those who receive salvation at the cross of Jesus, but we also need to be those who work out our salvation in this life, as we're told in Romans. So how does he do this for us? Well, it's about a different way of someone coming to make a home in a room in us. If I can put it like this, it's the lodger we never knew we needed. It's the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to them further on in the chapter, and we read it, John 14 and verse 16, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. Jesus and the Father know we need help as we are prepared for our new home. And it's not only a preparation, but a start to actually dwelling in our new home. The good news is we don't need to wait to actually enter into our new home. We can enter into it now. It's not as much booking the house removers and the lorry for moving days. It's a phased transition. We are no longer to live in the flesh, but in the spirit. For our new home is not physical, but spiritual. Because God is spirit. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. That's why we see at work here the triune God here, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What a work is being done in helping us to move into our new home. All three are involved in that work. This underlines the transition that we need to make. It's the same Holy Spirit. And you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. To prepare us for our place in the Father's home, we need the Holy Spirit living in us. We need to be filled with him and to go on being filled. We are in the world, but no longer of the world. And Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, will work with us and show us how to live in every aspect of our life, not just in church, but every day where we live, work, and play. I deliberately used that word, play. Play might be a surprising word, but there's not only a joy in the Lord, but a joy in life that God wants us to have. Being a Christian is not all hard graft and being miserable. You know, how many people think that when you come to the Lord, when you come to be a Christian, it's going to make your life more miserable? Well, in many ways, in the spirit, it's anything but. It always used to fascinate me, actually, when we came to the Lord and we became to know Christians. And I used to hear some of the joy and the laughter. I used to think, and that's what I drink in sight anyway. Because actually what brings us joy becomes something different within us. But we need the Holy Spirit in every part of our life. And actually we might need him to challenge some aspects of our play. Because sometimes if we're not careful, we get pulled into the world's play as well. And it tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. But actually, that's what the Lord gives to us. The Holy Spirit begins to change us. And even the way, there's quite a challenge I often think there about the way we talk to ourselves. Do we talk to one another in spiritual songs, making melody in our hearts to the Lord? And then Jesus tells them, again, he takes a different tack. He says at verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Hallelujah. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I love, and I will love him, and will disclose myself to him. The Holy Spirit moves in, but so does the Father and the Son. What the disciples had before them and what we have before us, as Jesus disclosed it to them, and as we've read this morning, God was revealing it through his word and his teaching. Let's be those who know our location now. Our location ongoing in this life and our location for eternity. Praise his name. Amen.